Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. This week, a really cool new band featuring old school members of big bands. We're talking about guys from Pearl Jam, Candlebox, Skillet, all joined together to create the Sons of Silver. Very cool nod to the old school rock and roll that you know I love. They're going to perform live. We're going to talk about their past bands, where they're going now. Really cool, fun episode. In the interest of full disclosure, we taped it a little while ago, but finally releasing it now. They have a really active social media presence. They're releasing singles all the time. And I just found out about these guys a while ago and started to really dig them, get into their music. And I always like bringing on new bands on the show. The band, again, Sons of Silver. We do the show live every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And I always put the word live in quotes because of the world we live in right now, as you know. But you can go to gasdigitalnetwork.com and watch us live every Saturday, every Wednesday, or you can check us out anywhere you consume podcasts, the SDR Show, listen for free. It comes out 5 days later. It comes out with commercials, but it comes out free. So however you want to choose it, however you want to consume it, we're just happy you're along for the ride. Here it is right now, the Sons of Silver episode of the SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. This is a hit show, show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hoe. It's weed, I'm beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, you need to know.
The SDR Show, let's go.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, it is Gino Bisconti. How are you, buddy?
Hey.
I like that you fixed your microphone or else I would have had to slap you in the face, and now it sounds...
I always like to have a little, you know, little chat back and forth playing with the new mic, but I think we nailed it. I think we're good.
Yeah, good. I'm very proud of you, man. You're good. So, and you updated your hairpiece, so that's nice.
I did.
It's very American. is that
little Rosie? It's Rosie the Riveter. I didn't know this. Did you know that? Well, who was it that did it? Norman Rockwell, and he was tracing over figures on the roof of the Sistine Chapel. Did you know that?
Did you know that up until I was 30, I thought it was the 16th chapel, and I am a moron.
Now you think it's the 17th.
I thought there were 15 other chapels. That's how stupid I am. Okay, so now, very excited to get this band on. I was sent their link a little bit while ago, and there's some, one of them might be a prophet, and I'll explain why once we get it started. The band is called Sons of Silver. New EP just came out, Doomsday Noises. Hello, everybody. How are you?
How are you, Ralph?
Good.
Doing good.
The easiest way for me, instead of me guessing, I know Peter is right there on the right. Your wife, Brina, is to the further right. And that's two for two so far. And let's see if I get this right now. It is Kevin right in front of me. And then all the way on the left would be Adam. Did I nail it?
Yes.
Pow! Bam, pow.
You get the chicken dinner.
Yeah, thank you. I get something. Okay, so now... The first question off the bat, which it's nice to know sometimes when I hear an album and I'm like, I feel something, and then I look and see that I'm right. And what it was is when I listened to that EP, I said, man, it sounds like a good old school rock record where everybody's in the same fucking room, which doesn't happen anymore. And it turns out I was right. Correct?
You were right. Yes. Right. Is there any other way to make a rock record?
These days there is, you know, that's the thing. So, and while I'm okay with the other way, it's fine. You can't fake that.
This is true. Yeah. And we knew that, you know, for us, I mean, we spent a few years together now on the road playing a lot and mailing it in, emailing it in, you know, Skyping it in just wouldn't cut it for what we want to do.
Can you always tell when you hear a record as well? Like, I mean, sure, you're all audiophile. So I imagine that's the case. Why would you at this point, is it convenience when bands don't do it? Like, what's the reason that it's a lost art, so to speak?
Convenience is part of it.
Probably a lot of it. I think people live in different countries or different states, you know, and maybe it's a little bit of money too, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so I think it's more convenience, you know, I mean, people mm-hmm. are people are, you know, in their homes, even if they're in the same city, it's like, ah, I could just, you know, lay down a drum beat and send it over to this guy. We actually did that for one song. I don't know if you heard it, but our one solo quarantine song, our quarantine in California song.
I heard that song. Yes.
I came up with the idea. I sent off just a sketch of it to Dave. And before I knew it, he had sent it off to Adam, played bass on it. Dave, our drummer, who's not in this interview right now. And then Adam sent off his bass and drum tracks to Kevin, and Kevin laid down these nice chunky, you know, Social D type guitars, and Brian and I took it, sang vocals and mixed it. And, but that, other than that, no, that felt, and that felt weird, to be honest with you.
So right now, the most of the songs on this EP, did they come out of jam sessions? Like, that's, you just go in the studio and fuck around? And
yeah.
That's, so then the Quarantine in California song is the only non-organic one? Is that a fair way to put it?
That is the complete anomaly. That's the black sheep, the black sheep.
Right. So now let me explain this. Gino is a conspiracy theorist, okay?
Not completely. I am a black sheep.
No.
All the way there. It's okay.
Here's the part that why Gino's going to love this. So I'm going to tell you some of the titles of the EP, Gino, and you need to know this. I believe it was written last year, right? Or maybe last year. Okay. One of them is called Outbreak.
Yeah.
Okay. Deep Division is another one.
Look at this.
Okay. The World Is on Fire.
Yeah.
And these are all written months prior to, it'd be funny if Quarantine in California was written months ago. That would have been really weird. But
we could tell you that, but we'd be lying. But the others were honest.
Right. And all of them sound like, when you listen to it, the first time I heard the record was not that long ago, I felt like, oh, you guys are recorded this during quarantine, and you're kind of taking it's an interesting way to say it. Like, you're making people think about it without really taking a side in the political landscape, but it's thought-provoking lyrics. You can't go on and say, fuck Trump or whatever, because you'll polarize your audience, but they're all lyrics to make you think about the world. Is that a good way to look at it, I guess?
That's spot on. You nailed it. Yeah.
Well, I'm a very smart man. That's why, probably.
That's what we heard.
Yeah.
We're here to test the waters.
Do you find it difficult? Because I imagine when you're writing lyrics, I'm not going to ask you your political views, but to write in a way that is thought-provoking without actually taking a stance.
You know, I'd like to know their political views, because I feel like it would be like getting late votes in some kind of, paused election if four people just showed up in the middle of everything and all voted the same way. All suddenly were on my side, and then suddenly I'd be winning out of the blue. Wouldn't it be fascinating? I mean, it would never happen in real life, where suddenly, when just when you were going to end the Zoom, four people showed up and swung it completely the other way. What a state that would be. So I'm... Just asking your thoughts on all of this.
Guys, who do you think Gino was voting for?
I can guarantee you that we didn't all vote the same.
Oh, what? Really?
Whoa. Time out. Wait a minute. You have to vote like I vote.
So, and the other thing is, it's always better to get people to think for themselves than to tell them what to think.
Right. That's a good way to put it. You know,
Adam, you're saying four people even showing up late and all voting the same way would be as much a statistical anomaly as, say, 186,000 people. Am I right, Adam? I'm just spitballing because obvious. Anyway, go on. Was this a music podcast? Because I've been drinking all day. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
You remember the Trump legal team?
What's that?
Are you a member of the Trump legal team?
No, I am not. I was saying before, I'm like, I don't care who wins. I'm just, either they cheated or they cheated and they're going to get away with it. And I respect either one.
It's not a job. Just, testing, see.
Yeah, there you go.
By the way, I like that Gino's two opposite options were they cheated or they cheated and got away with it. Not that it was actual votes.
Or if it was actual votes, you're right. Well, that's fine, too. If they cheated and got caught, I'm like, good for the Republicans. If they cheated and got away with it, I'm like, well, good for them. You win. This is America. It's not cheating if you don't get caught, Houston Astros.
Interesting that you left that part out.
We're Dodger fans.
Right. So congratulations on that, by the way. Congrats on that. That was a beautiful win.
All right, so now just to get back to the band for a minute, Gino, if you don't fucking mind.
This is a music thing, right? Okay, this is great. I'm excited. So,
originally, it wasn't a band, Peter. It was more your thing, and these guys were your backup band. And at some point, you decided to say, we're a cohesive unit. Let's be a band, correct?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that I said it just kind of happened, but yes, it started out that way. I was, well, Adam and I have known each other for a number of years. We were in a band called Last December. We had a few years where we were, a very popular Los Angeles band, chewed up and spit out by the major labels. Adam went more after that into live performance. That's when he joined the band Candlebox. I stuck more to the studio. During that time, that's when Breen and I met, and Breen and I were working together. Breen is our keyboardist and engineer. And so I started writing some songs on the side, wanting to get out of the studio, played a couple acoustic shows. I was bored. I dragged Breen along with me. The two of us were still bored because we both like rock, punk, things like that. So I called up Adam. I said, hey, let's do some tracks. Can you help us put a band together? So he called up Dave. Dave called up Kevin. Five of us got in a room within about 10 minutes. We were like, this works. We were lucky enough where we could go play a bunch of shows right away. We started playing 60, 70 shows a year right from the get-go. And over the next year and a half, 2 years, we sort of went from, playing songs that I wrote to jamming together on stage, off stage and the likes. And it was suddenly became something else. We were writing together and it was very, the chemistry was natural. Both musically and emotionally, we happened to like each other. Mm-hmm. next thing we knew, we were a different band, different sound. We went from being more Americana, folk, indie rock, things like that, to a rock band. Hence the need for a name change. And we've been toying with the idea Sons of Silver as a backup band. So when I approached the guys and I said, hey, how about we use Sons of Silver as just our name, period? They were actually kind of pissed at me because they were like, we like this band name, but that's how we ended up where we are.
It's funny that because I did do a little research and it actually is your last name translated to English, right? Perfect. Basically. So you got to name the band after yourself without actually doing it, even though that was the original name.
It's a lead singer thing.
Yeah. He's sneaky like that.
Yeah.
It's like Slaughter. It's like Slaughter all over again, basically. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Van Halen and Bon Jovi. Probably Van Halen's probably the best answer to that one, right? I don't know for sure.
What band is that?
So now when you first started, because you all come from different bands, different backgrounds, were you doing some of the covers from the other bands, or were you just doing like either originals and covers that weren't related to your other bands?
No, we were we just did our own stuff from the beginning. I don't even think we've ever played a cover. I don't think we have.
But yeah. Even we went with Candlebox, we played a couple covers when we all got on stage.
I don't remember. Just messing around.
Everyone kind of having fun together.
But other than that, it was one-off. No, that wasn't us. That was like a ensemble. One of the reasons I started writing songs was because I couldn't remember the lyrics of cover songs when I was in college. So I just started writing my own songs, and I still sometimes I mess them up because I'm like always thinking of new lyrics and the like. So if you've ever seen any of our live streams and you look in our room or my little booth, I have the lyrics taped up to the wall. So
that's cool. Kevin from Candlebox came on the show not that long ago, maybe last year or something.
Oh, yeah.
Such a super cool dude. And I got friendly with, I host Shiprocked, and we he was on Shiprocked, I think, once or twice, and super nice guy. Very, very cool dude.
Yeah.
Good guy. So now I know you're going to play a song tonight as well. We're going to get into that in a second, but some of the other questions I have, like when I'm listening to these lyrics, they are deep lyrics. They're like make you think lyrics. In fact, so much so that you put up a lot of lyrical videos. Do you feel that in the chaos of the world right now, that it might be too deep and heavy for people, or you want people to think?
Well,
we want them to think.
I think we want them to think, right?
Then you end up with a Gino.
No, I think what they're saying is, and if I may, because I do stand-up sometimes, I'm branded as kind of edgy, but what I like to say is, I like to put the joke right in your face, and it's up for you to decide. It's your art. Like you either, I say this all the time, we either, the Buddhists say, if you don't go within, you go without. And if you're not creating art that comes from within you, you're going without to create what you think the world wants, and that's work. So I think what you're telling Ralph is, with your music, because he's a little DIM slow, I think what you're telling me is you just put it out there and let them decide, let the words speak to them. And I was listening to the World on Fire song, and I thought it was fantastic. So I'm in. I'm on board with you guys. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yeah, I think we're saying we're just not thinking.
And it's also, by the way, I the only way I could describe it, it's like just really, you're a rock band. That's what it is, and it just, you don't get to have that much these days without some other kind of pretense. And it's my music. That's what it speaks to me. It's just like straight up fucking rock and roll. And I love that shit. What I do also like that you, you talked about this a little bit. You've embraced social media. You're putting up a lot of streams of you guys playing live. You did a whole thing not that long ago on Instagram Live. Do you think it's a little bit douchey that you guys only follow five people on Instagram and it's each of you?
Is that true?
I would say that's my fault, but actually, since my wife is here, it's Brina's fault. Okay. Just so you know, right?
Well, we'll have to get on that. I had no idea.
That is hilarious.
I'm glad you didn't know.
Wait a minute. Hey, Taylor Swift doesn't follow anyone.
Well, I don't know. But I actually would say that following no one is a little bit better than just following the five of you.
I'm going to interject here and say it's not douchey because I had no idea. Again, if you knew and you did it by design, then maybe.
Again, yeah. We're just not thinking.
It's not douchey. It's lazy.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
I have a feeling that's why they were like 5 minutes late getting it. Remember, before I click enter, we didn't know we're only following each other. We didn't know. We're just above it. We just didn't even know. Remember that. That's the key point.
Oh, I took a screenshot because I know. I said, some fuck is going to be like, no, we were there and they weren't even trying. I took a fucking screenshot. Was like, I just need evidence for a publicist.
Yeah, send the request to these motherfuckers every day. That's it. Come on. Break. Six.
When I saw it the other day, I was so excited to ask you guys to see what kind of reaction I would get from that, to be honest with you. Now, Peter, I know your dad was also a musician. And a thing that I heard that, to me, I'm not a very emotional man, but this got me emotional that you got to record songs now with your dad now is just a beautiful thing.
Yes, that's very cool. Actually, we all did. Yeah, Adam and I recorded an album's worth of material for him several years ago, and it's actually a really good album. And amongst our friends, people who know it, they're like, wow, I really love this record. And my dad's not a professional musician, but his writing is it's really top notch. He's kind of like in the Leonard Cohen, Bob Dylan vein.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got really busy when he a couple of years ago when he approached us to do another album. So he actually went to Greece where he grew up as a kid and recorded with one of his friends there. And then he came back a couple months ago with some new songs and asked us to record. So we all got together for one day and I didn't even play on it. These guys all played and everything. And it sounds really good. We're going to finish it up here in the next couple of weeks.
It's such a cool thing to be able to do. That's just like an amazing thing to have that in your life, regardless of what happens with it. It's like a true gift to have that ability.
It definitely is, you know,
Well, also what's cool is one of the songs is a gift to his sister. So it's kind of two in one. It's a song for her.
Yeah.
So she gets to have something that's recorded by her brother.
And also, by the way, Gino, you're going to find this weird. His father's also a little bit of a prophet. And one of the album titles is Gino's Going to Die in 2020, which is weird.
Wait, on stage or completely? Because he nailed it in mid-January, if he means on stage.
that's the lyric, the spontaneous combustion lyric in there, I think.
Also, by the way, I watched a couple of interviews with you guys. And if we could do it from my left to my right, because the answers get more interesting, which is where you were born, where you were raised. If you could say where you come from.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the ends are probably. What?
Yeah. So sorry, the two in the middle, then the two on the ends.
Yeah. You go first.
I was born in Colorado, but I grew up all over the place. My dad was in construction. So it was Colorado, Utah, New York, Texas, Pennsylvania, graduated high school in D.C., and then moved out and started doing music stuff.
Nashville. That's cool. Okay, then that's like a pretty standard musician-y guy there, right? Okay, let's keep going.
Right.
I'm born and raised in Los Angeles in Venice Beach, and we still live in Venice. Haven't gone very far. Our studio's here in Santa Monica, 2 miles from home, so I just didn't go very far.
Best burgers in Venice Beach, Peter. Best burgers.
Best burger in Venice Beach?
Hold on. I'm writing it down. Down. Where do you get the best burger in Venice Beach?
That's Santa Monica.
Waterfront has a great
Waterfront, which is technically one block north of Venice Venice Beach waterfront. It's right on the,
before you raise it, I'm gonna fuck. I was gonna bet $1,000.
He's got a sign up there. He's fucking.
The correct answer was Hanano Burger.
I haven't been there in forever.
I'm probably wrong because I'm not familiar with the waterfront place you said, but Hanano it's insanely good.
Here's the thing though. See, that technically is Venice.
Here we go.
From Venice, that's more like MDR, Marina Del Rey. So it's kind of like.
So you're trying to big time me. I get it. You're trying to big time me. I get it, buddy.
I'm just saying, you know,
it's Venice adjacent.
Let me. Is a question, Peter. Is it fair to say that Gino doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about?
Yeah, I mean that.
I didn't say that.
I was implied.
He's nodding. Subtle nod there. You had to look closely, but I think he nodded. It might have been a seizure. But either way, something is going on.
Just like his lyrics are open up for interpretation, I interpreted it as you're wrong, Gino. Okay, let's.
Had with all you people.
Now, I'm sorry. And the rest of you, where you're from, please.
So we're the foreigners. You want to go first?
Oh yeah, sure. I was born in Zaire, and then when I was about 3, when things were getting a little hard to be around there, my parents moved us over here to California.
From Zaire, Gino.
Kinshasa.
Yeah. Outside of Kinshasa. My mom's Tanzanian, and my dad's Middle America dude who really likes Africa.
I was going to say you look Tanzanian. I don't know what that means.
I'm actually.
She's been in the sun.
She's.
I look a lot. She's very Tanzanian. I've got a lot of my mom's looks, except for I'm very, very pale.
I have no idea how to even quantify what a Tanzanian person would look like, but I will take it as correct. And then finally, you, sir, where are you from?
I was born in Scotland.
Look at that. They're all so worldly and cool.
Very diverse.
I'm from Brooklyn. It's so boring.
He didn't wear a kilt. He usually wears a kilt, but since he's sitting,
sitting like this, it's a bad look.
I don't know.
Not that kind of thing, I suppose.
You might make Shannon very happy, depending on how good of a look it is, if you know.
Speak for yourself, you swarthy son of a bitch.
All right. So now, what song are you going to do for us? By the way,
Do you really want us to do a song?
Yes.
we were told that you guys wanted to hear Deep Division.
That is my favorite one so far. So yes.
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So we'll do that. Do you want us to do it now or do you want to?
Yeah, you can do it now, and then we're gonna do the first.
Okay. I'm gonna turn off just so there's not a lot of room sound. I'm gonna turn off the talkback mic.
Okay.
Just.
Gino, you know what's funny? I really thought it was a Trump bandana from this angle.
It's very. It's like a zeitgeist, though, wouldn't you say? Just a. Not so happy. Just too. It's nothing. It's very QAnon. There's no coincidences. It can't Shannon, be a coincidence.
Shannon, I'm just going to pull down my mic. You don't have to mute me.
Are you a QAnon fan?
I listen to a lot of it, but I'm kind of over it now because at this point they keep saying stuff, and it's like, come on. And by now, Trump would have been like, "Aha, I gotcha."
Never once did they say this is going to happen on this day. It's like an astrology thing. You're going to meet someone soon. Like, oh my God, he was right. I met somebody.
This is very true. Yeah, it's very gray. It's there are a lot of things like that. It's going to happen in 5 years, 10 years, 5 minutes. Sit around and it's going to happen in 5 more minutes.
Peter,
they were going to fold up their tents and go home when JFK Jr. didn't show up at the inauguration.
You know, the crazy
they lost me with that. The JFK Jr. still alive, but I believe I'm not trying to be creepy. I believe a lot of the Pizzagate stuff that is too beyond coincidence.
You ever see the video where the guy went there and there was no basement? Come on now. Now, you know that here's a crazy story. I used to play frisbee football with John F. Kennedy Jr. How about that?
Really?
I don't think anyone would make up that they played frisbee football to impress anyone. So I'm going to have to believe it.
It's a true story. Did it twice. That's pretty funny.
Really? Because I didn't know JFK Jr. was gay. That's weird. But anyway.
No, I made him gay because he was wearing a kilt. All right. So what song are you going to do? I'm going to kill my mic, Shannon. Gino, you have to kill Gino's mic too. And we're going to have Sons of Silver performing live right now, doing Deep Division on the SDR show.
All right.
I got a big feeling about us. Suddenly signals have been cut. Hold on tightly to what was. Watching our whole world here erupt, erupt.
That is fucking great. First of all, the crazy thing is, you sound like you wrote that the day after the election. You know, that's what's crazy about that. So I think we should start a new, that you guys are QAnon. That's the new thing. Let's throw that out there.
SOS Anon.
Yeah, that's you. Yeah. You're the guys behind all of it. That would make a lot of sense. And Gino will get on board immediately.
I'm already a big fan, but yeah, you make your names Sons of Where We Go One, Where We Go All. Yeah, you got me. Amen. There you go.
Well, for, you know, it's funny, just so you know, we cheated. We built a time machine.
There you go.
Fair enough. That makes sense.
And we actually, it was a prototype. We took it there, tested it out. I mean, you should see what the fuck's coming up in 2021. You think 2020 has been interesting.
It's just a preamble.
The good part is we will start selling them on Instagram after Thanksgiving for $49.95. And you get three for the price of two if you buy extra.
You know what I thought you were going to say? After Thanksgiving, you'll start following more people on Instagram. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Five.
No, we're going to ding. We're going to ding one of us.
Funnier if you're only following four of you. Four. That would have been much funnier.
We blocked Brina just for shits and giggles. We wanted to be misogynist. We blocked
her. Yeah, she doesn't look like a son.
All right. So now, obviously, any plans for big touring and stuff got thrown under the bus, but is there like, what, I know it's funny, I watched an interview from like April or something, and you guys were saying, well, by September we should be good, because we all thought we'd be good by September, and we weren't. So now, did you move dates again, or are you just kind of in a holding pattern? What's happening right now?
Well, we had to readjust our time machine because clearly it didn't work for that one.
Right.
No, we're like everyone else, we're in a bit of a holding pattern right now. but it, you know, it, things are looking bright for the late spring, summer of next year. You know, making a lot of assumptions about vaccines, people, you know, getting through this sort of hump that we're in right now. So we'll see. But frankly, for us, you know, we're going to keep doing our thing, which is being online with folks like you, you know, live streaming, writing songs, and just sort of storing up all this raw energy that we're going to take with us, and just eat up the stage when we get there.
And also, kudos to you guys. You guys are racking up views for the songs on YouTube, so that's a good sign, and that you're reaching people, because these days it's, you know, to carve out a niche, to, so to speak, is not that easy. We don't have a lot of time, but I want to go around. Gino, we got to ask four times about the first. There's four firsts coming on. So that's a lot.
The first time ever I saw Concert Did Drugs Had Sex.
The name of the show, as we know, is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, the SDR show. And we ask everybody since the dawn of the show their first experience with all three. We start with concert, and what we mean by that is a show you went to on your own volition, not your parents took you there, but a band we're going to know, not some local band that never, you know, some of the first concert you remember going to. And then let's go left to right, and we'll go right to left, back and forth.
So does that overhear me?
Yeah, you, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. So you have to tell me this qualifies, because my parents dropped me off. They didn't.
That qualifies. It qualifies.
Beautiful. So I was probably about 13, and I got to see Ozzy Osbourne in Anchorage, Alaska, at the Eastside High School Auditorium.
That, first of all, why were you? Did you? We grew up in Alaska at this point.
My dad was in the military, so we were stationed in the Aleutian Islands. We just happened to be in Anchorage for like a weekend R&R, I guess. And I heard it on the radio, and I begged my parents, and they were cool enough, or bad parents enough, that they just dropped me off with money for a concert.
That's great.
All by myself. So I got to see Ozzy. I saw the early show. He did two shows that day.
Wow.
Wow. Two shows. It must have been a long time ago.
Yeah, the late one sold out. I mean, this was it was about a month after Randy had died. He had just picked up.
Oh, wow. Jesus, that's Randy crazy.
Died, yeah.
That's a great first concert. Who, do you remember who opened, or you have no idea? I'm curious.
The local band. It was an Anchorage band. They didn't bring a band with him.
Wow, that's pretty wild. That's a very good one. All right, let's keep moving along. Kevin?
I think the first thing I went to on my own was Black Crowes at Starwood in Nashville. Yeah.
That's a very good one also. I like that one. I saw the Black Crowes and a band that never really made it, called the Four Horsemen, right? And they opened for them. And it was the craziest thing ever, because they had one hit that was sort of a hit called Nobody Said It Was Easy. It was a good song. But I've never seen this happen before. The band got into a fist fight on stage.
Nice.
It was the coolest thing I ever saw. And they did, the set ended early. We took a little bit of a break, and then the Black Crowes came out. It was up in Albany.
I was going to say, because their set could have ended that way, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. And now move on to you, Peter.
I think the first one, without, I used to go to a lot of concerts with my dad. My dad, you know, is a musician, take me a lot of cool stuff. Without him, I think it was Prince.
Wow. God damn it. You guys are knocking it out of the park.
Yeah. If I remember right, it was Prince and this girl he was dating. Her dad was my best friend in high school. Her dad was this girl he was dating was an exec in the music business. And so she invited him, and she wanted to bring her girlfriend. So he brought me. And the four of us jumped in this limo because the dad had arranged this limo. And we went to this show, and there, you know, let's just say there was a lot of smoke in the back of this limo. So I think, if I remember right, that my first one without my parents was, that's a pretty good start.
You know, it's funny. I literally read an article today about the top 10 songs that Prince gave away, you know, and I never knew I mean, we all know a few of them, like the Sinead O'Connor. I didn't know Chaka Khan's I Feel For You was written by Prince. I did not know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I found that out today. How about that? I just taught everybody something about music.
Pretty sure My Sugar Walls by Sheena Easton was another one of those.
Is that true?
That's true. Yeah.
Monday, I forgot
about that. Damn.
Yeah. Love Bizarre by Sheila E was another one.
Oh, yeah. Didn't Chaka Khan open for him for a while or something like that?
I think so at one point. Yeah. Then there was a couple, like, I was looking at the list. He wrote a song for Alicia Keys. It's pretty crazy. Anyway, Brina, your first one. not some Tanzanian band that we're not going to know. You know what I'm saying?
Whoa, no.
No, I went to a lot of shows. There was a really great music scene here in LA, but the first one that maybe you'd heard of, I guess, of course, is the Stray Cats. That was my first concert that I went to.
That's great. I love that. Those are all such good answers. I give you all kudos on the first round of answers.
And now we made them all up.
That's fine. And now we'll start with drugs. We'll start back at the beginning again with you, Adam. The first drug you ever did after pot, unless pot's the worst drug you ever did, whatever it is, the one after pot, and or maybe pot wasn't the first drug you ever did.
No, that was probably the first one. I think probably in high school, I had a friend who got a little bit of cocaine powder there.
This guy gets it.
I never heard of it. I like the fact that you had to quantify the powder, cocaine powder.
Well, it wasn't a big old rock.
It wasn't the rocks. Okay, it wasn't the rocks. Fair enough.
What's that pipe you have in your hand right now, Adam?
It's kind of shit you fish out of the carpet on Tuesday morning when you're like, there's got to be some left. Just a powder, I'm told. I'm told. That's what they say.
No experience. Kevin, yours?
Mushrooms, I think.
And did you like it? Was it something that stayed in you for a while, or did you only did it once?
3, 4, 5.
All right, fair enough.
He's on it now.
I've said this story a lot of times on the show, but I've never do any drugs. But once a year, I try a drug for the first time ever on the show, and I did mushrooms. I was drooling the whole time. That's all I know. I don't remember it.
Believe you were.
Yeah, that's what I was told. Yeah, it's really crazy. And we were going to do something this year, but we put it all on hold. I'll try my next. Last time I did was at 50 years old. I did cocaine for the first time ever on the show. All right, Peter, move to you.
I really never went beyond pot, but I can say one of my first. Yeah, I think it was my first experience. We were stoned in a room, and there were like, I don't know, four guys, four girls, and we put a strobe light in this large bedroom and had a pillow fight in a strobe light while completely stoned out of our minds. Let me tell you, that is one experience I actually want to have again.
You know what's funny?
The strobe lights. The pillow's here 1 second, the next second it's, you know, in your face and boom.
I did not think the story was going to end that way when you said four girls, four guys at a strobe light. And it was like such an innocent, sweet story. It's such a beautiful story. It's like, that's a nice story. I would like to be a part of that pillow fight.
You're coming back to the sex question.
My wife is over my shoulder. I'm giving you the clean version. Oh, I don't want to hear her X-rated versions of her stories.
It's a pretty story, I think it is. Okay, Brina, yours, first drug?
Mine would be ecstasy.
Ah, way to one up the boys.
Well, time out here. What?
I went to college in Berkeley. What do you expect?
Oh, that's cool. So that was that your first drug or after pot?
That was after pot.
And you were in college at the time?
Yeah, okay, cool. Probably 19 or 20.
All right, that's fine. It's all good answers. I liked your music answers slightly better than your drug answers. Except
I don't know. You ever done Tanzanian ecstasy, Ralph? I don't know.
Exactly.
Would she be back here in the States if she had?
That's true. Have you been back to Tanzania? Great. Do you go back?
Yeah, actually, in 2010, I went back with my mom and my dad.
All right, now, because I'm a American and I'm an idiot, what would you say Tanzania is most known for? Besides you, obviously.
Serengeti.
What?
So, the Serengeti. So that's where a lot of people go for safari.
Okay, fair enough. Did Shannon or Gino know that and I'm an idiot, or did you learn also?
I didn't know.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure.
I always confuse it with the Tasmanian devil. I was going to say Tanzanians travel in a little miniature tornado. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no.
Thank you for being the dumbest one in the room, Gino.
No problem. I'm always here for you, buddy.
So now we'll start all the way again back at the beginning, and we do your first sexual experience. How old were you?
I was an early starter. I was 13.
Whoa. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Was that in Ireland
Maybe 14.
Was it in Ireland?
No, this was still up in Alaska.
In Alaska?
I was at concerts. I was smoking pot. I was.
Wow.
I got the trifecta.
So you were 13. In Alaska, I imagine, because there's not a lot to do. It's to have sex and go to Aussie concerts. There's not a lot going on in Alaska.
I learned how much beer I could drink before I got sick, all those kind of things.
But I was always told in Alaska, like, guys outnumber girls like 10 to 1 or something.
He didn't say he was with a girl.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Thank you.
In high school, it was pretty even numbers.
Oh, okay. And then they all leave. Okay. Fair enough. And now you, Kevin?
Great.
You're not going to beat 13, but let's hear it.
Wait, 16, I think.
And was it a girlfriend? Was it someone you were dating for a while?
Yeah, it was a girlfriend.
And was it a one-time experience, or you never went back again?
Oh, no, I went back multiple times.
And now the interesting part, we'll ask the husband and wife to see this story. I wonder if they know this about each other. Do you?
Is this the dating game or something here?
Usually on a date, I do talk about it once in a while about your first experiences, but do you guys know?
Keep it vague.
Peter, when is the first time you made whoopee? We'll make it very dating game-ish. You made whoopee. See?
Do you guys know the story of each other or you don't?
You see me squirming my seat here? No, actually, my first experience was with my wife, Brina.
She's 35.
Yeah.
You better hope she's on drugs again to believe that. Here we go.
Come on, fess up.
All right. It's like 16, and it was a random.
All right, I like it. I like the honesty. And Brina?
I was...
Shh.
Senior year, so 17? Mine was a random, too.
Okay, good. I like it. It's okay to talk about.
Actually, there's more to that, but that's where we'll leave it.
Okay, fine. We'll leave it that way. Just so I don't want to be the reason that a marriage is in turmoil because we're asking stupid questions. So we'll drop it there. The new album, the EP, Doomsday Noises. I like that it's an EP, by the way. I'm a big advocate of what you're doing, which is singles, release them. Nobody needs to wait for a fucking album anymore. We're not in that world anymore. So just keep doing that way. I like that you're just putting them out. It's great. It's the way rock should be done these days.
Thank you. We're having fun. We're just having fun, man. Yeah. I mean, it's all we're doing.
And if the world does open up and you make it to New York, I would love to see a show live because I think you guys are awesome.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, please email us info@sonsofsilver.com. And we'd love to send you guys awesome swag, some t-shirts.
Awesome. Definitely will do that. And get any other plugs you want in right now. If you could get some plugs in on the air, anything else I'm leaving out.
Hey, just check us out. Search us, Sons of Silver. You'll find us everywhere from Spotify to Facebook, Instagram. It's an easy find. And hit us up if you want to know more about the band. In the meantime, keep track of us because we're going to get on the road as soon as possible. And that's what we love to do the most. That's where we shine. And, let's all have a good time together because life is short.
The one thing that's extremely obvious with you guys when listening to the music is that you're all just fucking great musicians. And that's important. And I cannot wait to see a live show. I think it's going to be awesome. But if you follow these guys on Instagram, do not expect to follow back. Gino, let's hear you.
I will be, you ready for this? I'll be in Anchorage, Alaska, February 12th and 13th, doing cocaine out of carpets, fucking 13-year-olds. Hello, QAnon. At a bar called Chilkoots. Do you remember Chilkoots, fucking Adam? Do you remember that place?
No, because I was on a military base. I was only in Anchorage for like a weekend. But the and I was also,
that was one hell of a weekend. You did drugs, fucked a 13-year-old. Jesus Christ!
It was just a concert.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Gino,
the weekend was epic, but it wasn't that epic.
Yeah, I mean that's livid. Jesus Christ!
Gino, you really bonded with them with both California and Anchorage, bringing up things that they had no idea you were talking about.
Yeah, I'll be eating a shitty Hanano burger at the end of the month in L.A. You know, whatever. I'm not trying to. They're big time in me.
You said it was a bad burger. It's just you were trying to qualify it as a Venice burger. Yeah. When you come out to Venice, we'll get together and I'll show you a Venice burger.
Okay, understood. Fair enough. I was a little out of line. Not for nothing. I was a little out of line.
If you go out of line like that again, I'll come over there and smack you.
I'm sorry. I forget myself. All right, so I'm good.
Your plugs, Gino.
Yeah, that's it. I'm really going to be in Anchorage in February and GinoBiscotti.com for all my comedy.
You really are going to be in Anchorage?
I used to do it every year, bar called Chilkoots, and they finally are kicking comedy back up again. They're like, look, we don't give a fuck about the lockdown. Come on out. So I'm going February 12th and 13th. I'm headlining four shows and hosting a thing called Spinardi Gras around Mardi Gras. It's going to be great.
Now, that's really cool. I really thought you were lying.
You got to go to Anchorage in like spring or something, like February?
In spring is when they get the real talent.
So yeah, exactly. I'm their winter guy.
He's the guy. There's nothing else happening within 300 miles. We'll get Gino. He'll fill the room.
My voicemail just says beep. I'll take it.
It would be I'll take it beep, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I don't know.
Go ahead, Shannon.
What way do you take it? That's what we want to know.
Well, that gets back to the first time ever I was on Tanzanian ecstasy, and I took it every which way.
One of those wildebeests came for a ride. Yes.
Shannon, hit your plugs.
Follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts.
I always ask this now, guys in the room, show of hands, do you believe in ghosts? Raise your hands. Half the room.
I believe that people believe in ghosts.
Fair enough. I like that. Good answer.
You know, really don't believe in ghosts. You don't like, it's not like I'm trying to be, but energy can be neither created nor destroyed. So something's got to be hanging out afterwards.
That's not necessarily a ghost.
45% of Americans believe in ghosts.
If you ask Joe Biden, a lot of ghosts voted for him in this past election, I'm told.
Okay. Whoa. That was good.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks. You know, I'm a slave to this trade. I can't stop it.
Hey, by the way, those weren't ghosts. They were just dudes in white sheets.
This guy's scatting and bebopping all over me.
Hey, just so you know, this guy, he's in the wrong business. He needs to have his own show and be just doing one last, because we'll be sitting in the van or the bus going on, and these guys, all especially him, one after the other after the other. I try keeping up, and I'm like the lyricist of the band. I'm just stumbling over my tongue. It's just like, whoa, 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 you know.
I'm going to wrap this. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. The way that this happens usually is I get pitched a band, I listen, and I say, do I want this band on or not? And the second I heard your EP, I was like, oh, definitely want these guys on. So definitely check out Sons of Silver anywhere that on social media, on Spotify, etc. We add a song every week to our playlist. Do you want to pick one off the EP? Do you want to do the Quarantine in California? It's only a 2-minute song, or do you want to do something specific off the
not Quarantine though, but if you guys just pick one off the EP
Gino, were you saying World on Fire was the one you were singing?
World on Fire is really good.
All right, so we'll add World on Fire to our playlist, the sdrshow.com/playlist. And guys, thank you so much for taking time out on the SDR show. And sorry you hit the wrong link at the beginning of the show.
I'm sorry that we're kind of slow. We're just musicians, you know. No, guys, thank you guys for having us. We watch a number of your episodes. We love your show. So.
Oh, thank you so much. That's nice to hear. Did you see the big Rob Halford Sebastian Bach debacle?
Yes, that was awesome.
All right, we'll see you next week on the SDR show.
Listening to the SDR show.